And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Amen. 12 years. 12 years of suffering, being called unclean, living as a social outcast, and now depleted of wealth. 12 years this woman lived with the scourge of blood always flowing. You might say, well, it's not the worst ailment in the world, except for the fact she lived in first century Israel, where the Mosaic Law was still a central part of worship and religious life. This means her condition made her unclean. She was unclean to enter any holy sanctuary because under Mosaic Law, the law of Moses, a woman in this state was ritually unclean and so barred from entering any holy space until the blood flow ceased. And what if it doesn't stop? 12 years. For 12 years, she was sick. And so banned from any sort of public ritual, public worship, as she lived in that perpetual state of being unclean and everybody knew it. And on top of it all, she had no money because she spent it all on doctors. Doctors by whom her condition only worsened. What would you do if you were in this situation? Poor, sick, unable to attend church. And we're not talking about days. We're not talking about weeks or months, years. Over a decade, what would you do? Would you accuse God of wrongdoing? Thinking maybe he's just not in your life anymore. His mercies are gone. Or would you just skip all religious mumbo jumbo and denounce the faith? Why go through the trouble of being faithful? The sickness is here to stay. What would you do? 12 years is a long time. Plenty of time to lose hope in God. And it's not just in the New Testament where we find people suffering. The Old Testament lesson today is from Lamentations, a title aptly describing God's people whose laments are recorded as they weep over their condition. Their precious land, the promised land of milk and honey, deemed theirs by God, lost, ripped from them by God for their persistent idolatry and given over to a pagan empire and king who exiled many Israelites into the land of Babylon. So you lost your land, and now you are forced to live in a different land under a foreign king with foreign people having foreign customs and foreign religions. I imagine that seeing the city, the great city of Jerusalem, consumed by fire, seeing the temple of Solomon engulfed in flames, and the wall surrounding the great city of Jerusalem reduced to rubble by Chaldean soldiers, all had a profound, deep effect on the Israelites. Hence the reason they weep. They lament their condition. One that seemed without hope, without end in sight. We reach these places in our life, don't we? Where it seems there is no hope, no end in sight. We have reached rock bottom. And Lamentations, we have this line, it's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, but that's hard. Waiting for anything is challenging. Waiting when you are suffering is even harder. Waiting and being quiet while you're suffering may be a downright impossibility for the people of God. But this raises the question, how then does one endure long suffering? How do we not lose hope that is within us, a hope that is yours on account of being God's child? What sustains us in times of suffering and plague, temptation, and sin? Even if your answer is, by faith we endure, that's partially correct, and I say that for this reason, and that is, faith is never alone. But remember, faith always has an object. It's not faith by itself. It's not faith in anything that saves, but faith in the right object. That's what saves. That's what sustains. And we see this play out in the gospel lesson. 12 years. 12 years. But the woman heard reports about Jesus. She heard. And she comes up from behind him in the crowd. And she believes, if I only touch his garments, that's all it will take, I will be made well. And her actions pay off. The blood dries up and she's healed. The story doesn't stop there. Jesus perceives that someone touched him. Who touched my garments, says the Lord? Fear and trembling grip this woman, this child of God who falls down before Christ and spills the truth. But to this trembling, fearful woman, Jesus only says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. It's not that Jesus had special garments, but this woman had faith. She had faith in Christ. This sinful, sick woman believed. She believed that in Jesus she would find healing, she would find mercy, she would find compassion. And she receives these things. She's healed because she had faith in Christ. That's it. That's all. She had faith, and her faith was in the right object, the right person, our Lord and our God. In Lamentations, to those weeping Israelites who were crushed, humiliated, living in the shame of their sin, they had done it. They had lived as idolaters, and now they were exiled. And yet to them, God still speaks. He doesn't write them off. He still does not forsake his children. Now, it would have seemed to their senses, given everything that had happened to them in their current state of affairs, that surely God had abandoned them. The very moment Solomon's temple began to burn, it would have seemed to the senses God was absent as they adjusted life in a foreign land. But by God's word, friends, we know that wasn't the case. God wasn't going anywhere. He was still calling his people to repentance, calling them to faith, to trust, to know that, yes, he is the God of their salvation still. And no, he does not leave. He does not abandon his children. As Christians, we're taught repeatedly to listen to the word of God. That's easier said than done, because the sinful flesh deceives and tricks us into listening to other things, other people who seem to know better. We're tempted to make judgments based on our experiences, but these judgments often conflict with God's word. What God says and how we perceive things don't always add up. They don't always line up. Even when we hear a line in Scripture, like God works everything for the good of those who love him, we often don't see the good resulting from suffering, the good that God works, yes, even during trial. Even during tribulation, even during suffering. God speaks to his people. They're lamenting, they are weeping, they are crying, but the Lord speaks. We hear the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Friends in Christ, God is faithful, and his mercies never cease. God never stops showing mercy to his children. God never stops loving his children. His love endures forever as his word, his promise endures forever. His word guaranteeing you, he has not abandoned you. You have not been cast off. But you do belong to him through Christ in every trial, in every tribulation. He has given you his word. Do not be afraid. You do have his peace. Jesus heals the woman with the discharge of blood, but we also hear in the gospel lesson another story, don't we? Jesus heals Jairus' daughter. To the senses, she was dead. People even laugh at Jesus. They laugh at the Lord when Jesus says, "The child is not dead, he's sleeping." They get a real chuckle out of that. They even tell Jairus, "Why are you troubling the teacher? She's dead. That's the end of the show. Go about your day. Go about your work. Quit bothering him. She's dead." She wasn't. Israel thought she was dead in Babylon, but she wasn't. You may think you are dead in sin, dead in your life because of X, Y, and Z. You're not. God gives you his word that you are not. The very Jesus who heals the woman of blood and Jairus' daughter is the very Jesus, the Son of God, who knows what it's like to suffer in this world, even to the point of shedding blood. If we want to talk blood flows from the side of Christ. Blood flows from him when he's hoisted on a cross, but Jesus' bloodshed will make unclean sinners clean, as his blood counts as a sufficient payment of sin before the Father. Sin has a cost that goes all the way back to our first parents, when it takes an animal skin to clothe them, and this God does. But the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, only foreshadow the great sacrifice of God's Lamb, his Son, and his blood will do it. His blood has done it, accounted for, paid for sin because his blood is holy. The Son of God gives himself for you. He rises from the dead for you. Faith grabs hold of all of this, and it is yours. And that is how we live. By faith in God, who is good to keep you, a God who is good on every last word he speaks to you. I leave you with this. We're talking a lot about suffering. Relief from suffering, friends. It is always sure to come. It may come tomorrow. It may not come until 12 years from now. It may not come until death, when you are released from this world and taken to be with your Lord in heaven in company with all the saints. But relief is sure to come. God will make sure of it. You will be comforted by a God whose mercies never cease. A God whose love is steadfast. It lasts forever. Also recall you were baptized into Christ. Never get tired of hearing that phrase. You're baptized into Christ, brought into communion and fellowship with him throughout your life. And so you live in Christ, you suffer in Christ, you die in Christ, and all that means you live. You live with Christ. This is what your God has given you. This is what your God promises you. He has borne your sins in his body and paid for every last one of them. Remember this in your trials. Remember this in your suffering. Remember the promises of your Lord and your God, that you are forgiven and an heir to life eternal. Because in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, nothing in this world can take that away. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.